All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome back to the show. It's been a while, but it's a guy I've known only a long time as a broadcaster and a writer and a podcaster. It's Dale Tafoya. He has a brand new book called One Season in Rocket City, How the 1985 Huntsville Stars Brought Minor League Baseball Fever to Alabama. This is available from Nebraska Press as well. Dale, man, I remember Athletics After Dark, the pod. What years were you doing that one, man?
It was Athletics After Dark. First of all, great to be on your show, Rick. I follow Sports Byline USA socials, and you guys have all these famous people. So I'm just very honored that you fit me in the schedule. But, yeah, it was called Athletics After Dark podcast, and then Athletics Talk Now. My first podcast, Rick, was August 10th, 2010. And there weren't a lot of podcasts back then. It was just and I used Skype. It was Skype, and my brother is a very talented graphic designer, so it looked kind of fancy and very professional. So it was 13 years ago, and I stopped podcasting. It's a lot of work, and today when I see these podcasts, I mean, they have new studios now, and I just started mine over Skype. So but it was a good time, and I was happy to have that experience and that body of work podcasting.
Yeah, I remember when I was on your show, which I was many times, you guys would make like a banner and put my face in, and you guys put in all that extra work.
Yeah, it was exciting, and it was a nice chapter. As an author, Rick, I like the autonomy of being an author. I get to do projects at my own pace. If I get a book deal, a publisher will give me a year to finish the book. And what I do is I usually try to finish a chapter a month. So I just like the autonomy of being an author, interviewing people, and seeing a product like the book we're going to talk about today, One Season in Rocket City.
Well, now, you and I, as long A's fans, we know about the Bash brothers, and those guys had to start somewhere. And the Double-A team, that Huntsville Stars, we kind of took it for granted that, wow, they got a lot of great talent down there. But they were brand new to the area, weren't they?
Absolutely. Their first year was in 1985. And Huntsville was always a space and rocketry city. And before that, it was a cow and cattle town. Werner von Braun came and designed the Saturn V rocket that shot man to the moon. But in the city, they had some entertainment in Huntsville. They had the Redstone Arsenal. They had some civic centers. They had a nice downtown area. But Huntsville really, they lacked an outlet to bring the community together. And that's where the mayor, Joe W. Davis, the five-term mayor who passed away, he really fought hard to bring this Huntsville team late 1984 and into the 1985 season. And they won their first the Southern League championship in their first year of existence. So there was just a baseball revival and awakening that took place, and 15 of those prospects that played on the Huntsville top Stars at some point in that 1985 season eventually reached the major leagues. Very star-studded roster.
That's incredible to think that more than half of that team got to the bigs. Let's talk about some of the men at the top when this all got together. Let's talk about a mogul by the name of Larry Smitu, and of course a guy we know, Conway Twitty.
Right. Well, the impetus of the 1985 Huntsville Stars, Rick, is essentially driven by two narratives: the post-Billy Ball, Billy Martin era of the A's, and a minor league baseball mogul that you mentioned, Larry Smitu, and his vision for Nashville, Tennessee. The story really began in the heart of Larry Smitu, and he's still alive and doing some great things in Nashville. Smitu was this Nashville-born baseball savant who championed baseball in Nashville since he was a kid. He was a baseball prodigy. He resurrected Vanderbilt University's putrid baseball program in the late 60s and 70s, and he brought minor league baseball to Nashville in the late 1970s when he formed the Nashville Sounds, a Southern League Double-A affiliate. So he became one of minor league baseball's top executive. He was the Barnum and Bailey of minor league baseball. He had a golden touch. But his ultimate vision, as successful as the Nashville Sounds were, his ultimate vision was to bring a major league franchise to Nashville. And in July of 1984, he was inching closer to that dream when he purchased the AAA Evansville Triplets and elevated Nashville from AA to AAA, which, of course, is a level right below Major League Baseball. But since Nashville was now hosting a AAA baseball club, he needed a home for that existing AA franchise. And that's what put in motion Smitto delivering his AA franchise to Huntsville, Alabama, which hadn't had a pro ball club in 55 years when the Class D Huntsville Springers folded.
It's funny, too, to hear about that it almost didn't get done over beer sales.
Right. Well, yeah, the major snag, it wasn't entirely a smooth delivery bringing that franchise to Huntsville. The major snag, Rick, and drama that almost killed the deal, Smitto insisted on selling beer in the new stadium that Huntsville was financing and building. And the city's conservative city council immediately shot that idea down. And you have to remember, Huntsville was in the thick of the Bible Belt. Beer sales was one of the hardest things back then to get approved in that area. Back then in Huntsville, for example, if you wanted to purchase a bottle of wine in a store, the cashier took you in a curtained private back room and discreetly put the bottle in a bag. You had to keep the wine bag inside the store. There was a lot of conservative churches in the area that opposed alcohol. But Smitto insisted on beer sales in that new stadium in Huntsville, or he wouldn't bring the club to Huntsville. The consensus among minor league owners was that a minor league team could not survive without earning revenue from beer sales. But they finally reached a compromise in last-minute dramatic fashion, thanks to Mayor Joe Davis, Huntsville's mayor since 1968. And they designated a special section for non-drinkers in the new stadium. And that essentially opened the door for that AA franchise to come to Huntsville beginning in the 1985 season. And the new stadium was named after Mayor Joe Davis, Joe W. Davis Stadium, who wanted that team badly in Huntsville to unite the community. He loved baseball.
Last question for you. We talking about the players on the roster and the guys that came over from the Henderson trade from the Yankees, like Catteray, Plunk, Polonia, they were there, and you think it's Stan Javier, and then, of course, Canseco was the big guy. Tim Belcher was a huge pitching prospect. Terry Steinbach, would go on to be an All-Star Game MVP. I mean, as you said, it was stacked.
Absolutely. Of that Huntsville team, as far as the A's are concerned, Jose Canseco, Terry Steinbach, Stan Javier, Eric Plunk, Greg Catteray, Luis Polonia, and Todd Burns, they all played a part in the A's championship resurgence in the late 1980s. So, yeah, that was a roster. Even back then in 85, baseball insiders were saying, watch out for the A's in two or three years, because they saw how talented that AA Huntsville Stars team was. So, as you mentioned, you had some giants in A's history that were on that AA club.
Great reviews from Billy Bean, Tim Kirchen. It's got a foreword by Sandy Alderson. It's called One Season in Rocket City, How the 1985 Huntsville Stars Brought Minor League Baseball to Alabama, from Nebraska Press. It is available from our guest Dale Tafoya. Dale, good to talk to you again, man. Congratulations on the book. Seems really cool.
Thanks. Good. All the best, Fred.